This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, we'll start top stories of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Kind of a sad note. Well, kind of. A ridiculously devastating story. The two-year-old son of Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Ed Oliver died on June 28th after he was found unresponsive in a swimming pool by family members at a residence outside Houston. Oliver and his family have been mourning the tragic loss, and he is asking, according to a source close to him, for privacy and prayers at this very difficult time. Cameron Wolf reporting on ESPN. Kind of a side story of this. There's a podcaster named Tony Farmer, and for some reason, he's all over the Buff stuff lately. He was talking about the subpoena and all this stuff. He got this news well before the Buffalo Bills released it, and he released it. He released this information, and Josh Allen spoke about it and was very fired up about the fact that this was released by a reporter or podcaster, whatever you want to call them. There's certain things that I with the Eaton story, Mike, with the Eaton young men, Tanner had information. Bruce had information. They knew at that point who the boys were. And we talked about it as a group and thought, okay, we're going to wait until the authorities release this information, because it's not really our story to tell. So yes, if we, just so you know, the way we would handle business here, locally or not locally, if I get a tip about something like this, it's not a tip, man. It's devastating, and you hate to hear it, but we move the other direction on that. And then we will talk about the names when this comes out. My gosh. Now, this dude's getting a lot of flack on social media. Now, he's posted stuff about the Buffs recently. He was the guy, Michael, when the email came out that we talked about, where it was basically put your phone, you know, tuck your phones away. You can't take any notes at practice, no pictures, all that stuff. He went on and posted something along the lines of there's something more going on to this. This is for non-football reasons. Now, we still don't know if that's confirmed. But this was, he had talked about that before we had heard news that the sheriff was out there, Boulder County Sheriff was out there trying to find Deion Sanders. He's doubling down on that, by the way. You know, the staff came out and said that they were cooperative. We worked with the sheriff. He's doubling down on that, saying that's not the story he heard. Here's where I am. I don't doubt that the guy has some insiders. He's got somebody feeding him something. I'm texting Brian Howell. I'm like, who is this guy? I don't doubt that he does. And clearly, he had information there. That's not a story that you're running with. And unless you're thinking there's other things going on, but that's just, we don't do that, man.
Breaking team news is one thing. When it comes to the family, you have to let the authorities handle the situation.
Right.
Don't. I feel like, and I don't know this podcaster, but I feel like this podcaster just wanted to break another story. And that's something you just shouldn't do, especially when it's something personal and tragic like this. That's irresponsible journalism.
I think it is. And this guy is getting a lot of crap now. And I'm not saying he hasn't been right. Clearly he had that story and he was right. So he has somebody talking to him, Mike. Somebody's giving him information that seems to be reliable enough. The Buffalo Bills organization released this. On behalf of the entire Buffalo Bills organization, we want to publicly express our condolences to Ed Oliver and his family on the devastating loss of his son. That was Brandon Bean, Bills general manager. It's an unthinkable tragedy for any parent. We will continue to support Ed and his family, as well as grieve this tragic loss. I mean, that's his story to tell. That even the Bills knew all this, right? And there's that's the Bills saying, hey, we'll not say anything until you want this to be out in the public. That's how you do it. And for a reporter to get that information, if I got that information today, for some reason I have a Bills insider that tells me this. Hey, you might want to run with this. Absolutely not. Mike, we've kept quiet on less before because we don't want to damage the relationships. This guy is getting a lot of people coming at him. And rightfully so on this story. The Buff stuff, the conjecture, all that. That's news. That's news. This is not news. I mean, it's news because it's news, but it's just not one of those gotcha moments for a journalist. For anyone pretending to be a journalist. And if you're a podcaster, like, I'm not a journalist, but I get random information. I get random stuff sometimes. It doesn't do any. I mean, yeah, if I'm breaking news like every day, suddenly my Twitter's going up and everyone's going to my site and my show because I'm the guy in the know. My show is opinionated based. I take the stories of the day, the games of the day, and I give you my opinion. But even for a guy like, how many journalists do we talk to on this show? Kevin Lytle, like those guys. You're going to get that story. But it's outside of your duty as the journalistic integrity. Everything's a story now. This is called being a human and knowing that this is not your story to put out there. It's just a bad look. It's a really, really bad look.
I can guarantee you, all but guarantee you, 99.99% chance that one of the TV stations, if not more of them,
had
this story and were not saying a thing.
And Josh Allen,
to be respectful.
He didn't say this guy's name, but Allen, of course, went out and said, basically, I don't know if you can find the quote, but basically shame on anybody that ran with this story before it was given a green light by the organization.
Yeah, and honestly, it's not even the organization who should be given the green light.
It's the player.
The organization was right.
And they were basically saying he's been missing practice because of, you know, slight injury stuff. Which to that I have no issue with that either. And he could still be banged up. And both things can be true, but I have no problem with telling a little white lie to protect a guy and his family as they're mourning, and then they're trying to figure out, okay, I'm a high-profile guy. Not only is this devastating to our family, you'll never recover fully from that. You never will. You just kind of move. You just live somehow. I can't imagine. But for the family then to have to think about, okay, wait a second, we can't deal with this like a normal family would because I'm a high-profile football player and the cameras are going to be on me as soon as I'm back out on any kind of field. It's going to be front and center on me, and it's going to be about this story, about my child, about my family. So, no, there are lines. Now, I get on and say some stuff, like Coach Prime's a disaster, da-da-da. If I found out today that he was going through something devastating, I'm not going to get on and use that and say, see, here's another reason why that, you know, no. There's just a line you don't cross, Mike.
And there needs to be a certain level of empathy. And unfortunately, there are millions of podcasts out there. And not everybody is thinking about the families. They're just thinking about their numbers.
Yeah,
that's irresponsible.
It's dumb.
And I hate that.
No, it's dumb. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. So former NBA player Enes Kanter Freedom, we've talked about him a lot, Mike. He's now, quote unquote, or quote, air quotes, saying he identifies as a woman. He was at a game this weekend. He went to the Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky game, sitting underneath the basket, basically, front row. He was sitting courtside in a black T-shirt that read women, W-O-M-A-N, noun, adult human female. When a timeout was called late in the third quarter, a player, Sky's guard Natasha Cloud, went over to him. She walked toward Kanter Freedom and shouted at him. He was standing with his arms outstretched and took a few steps toward the court before security cut him off and directed him to leave. Cloud was held back by teammates and security as she continued to shout and point at Kanter Freedom. She spoke with the team and league security after Chicago's 113-90 loss, but did not address the media. She said, there's so much good things about this league and so many things about the play of these players. Yeah, Caitlin Clark went off in that game. I think she had a 30-point triple-double.
Good for you.
The end of the quote from Sky coach Tyler Marsh, and if you come to a game, you should probably come to enjoy the basketball. That seems pretty simple to me. I think these players deserve that and have earned that. Well, the problem is now you got not just Kanter, but tons of people are going to games now, and it's making a political statement with the T-shirts they wear, whatever they do. Like, this is beyond. Now you're just. I think he's going a little too far. Yes, he's going a little too far. Why are you going to a game? And why are you going to a game with that shirt? Why are you sitting there? If you want to go to a game, he could have won the day. But just go to a game. Not wear a shirt. Just wear a regular shirt. He can sit where he sits, but if someone's coming up to you, she starts talking trash, you stay quiet. You stay on your seat. Then who's the bad guy? It's Cloud, not you. But you stand up and you start going toward her with your hands held out like, what are you going to do? It's not right. The whole thing's a joke. And yes, I still blame the WNBA for they won't define what a woman is. They have to have task force meetings to do this. He's taking advantage of it and running and sprinting with it, making a mockery of the whole deal. And I've said, I wouldn't do that personally. I think it is a circus. It's a sideshow. But someone's trying to make an example of this sideshow. But I think he took it too far. First off, do you need to go to a game? And if you do go to a game, then don't make it a political statement. And I know that it's all this guy is about now.
He's
making
a
political statement.
Drafted.
Well, he's going to fight him then if he doesn't. He's going to say collusion. He got kicked out of a game, though. He got kicked out of a game. So I just don't love any of this. None of this is good for the game. Now, the WNBA needs to come out and be strong on this and say, hey, we still support the transgender community, all that stuff. But in order to play in our league, you need to be born a woman. Is that so difficult? Yeah, Brady, because then the protesters are going to go at him. Then you just fight the fight, man. You got to stand up on that. Is Kanter Freedom being a clown in all this? Yeah, I think he is. It's a mess, Mike.
This is so stupid. We should be focusing on the WNBA for its basketball, for its athletes, not for its politics. And yet, the most popular thing about the WNBA is
not even
a player
Caitlin
that
Clark.
A lot of people hate. And the politics.
It's not Caitlin Clark anymore. She had an amazing game. This was a sideshow to the whole deal.
I bet that got more news in the local paper than Caitlin Clark.
The Fever won 113-90, and Caitlin Clark had 37 points and 10 assists in that game. That should have been what we were talking about today. And I could have done my fun little, oh, Caitlin Clark had almost 40 points. I bet the WNBA's pissed. That's fun. This is too extreme. On both sides, it's too extreme. Crazy.
I know politics and sports a lot of times do go hand in hand, but in this situation, the politics just does not make sense.
All right, Daquan Wright was playing for the Browns. He came from Ole Miss. You know where I'm headed with this. They're waving him. He was a player we talked about last week. He entered the portal last week. He's still a Cleveland Brown. He's playing NFL football for the Browns, but entered his name in the transfer portal because he has the fifth year now. That is kind of allowed. Because he signed with the Eagles after the draft and then was claimed on waivers by the Browns. He didn't actually appear in either of Cleveland's first two preseason games. He hasn't practiced in more than a week, but he did dress for the Browns' second preseason game. Todd Monken said Wright has been sidelined because of an injury. On Wednesday, Wright officially entered the portal after he and a group of athletes who filed a lawsuit in Louisiana were granted a temporary restraining order to return to college for one more season because they got the fifth-year deal, and they're honoring that because they got the restraining order, even though we have now fired back and said, no, the fifth year for 2022 guys is not going to work. So he will be playing for LSU, assuming all this goes through. He will be playing for LSU next year. And Lane Kiffin. Todd Monken said, I wondered why Lane Kiffin reached out to me a week ago. Now I know. I didn't call him back. I guess I should have. What are we doing? He should not be. There should not be an exception. Even if you didn't know the fifth year thing was going to happen, it's too late. You moved on. You signed. I stand by this. I think it does screw him over a little bit. It does. Because there's information that you didn't know. This is also the NCAA's fault for not figuring this out from the get-go. Like, this starts with the NCAA. Big Hub says, Brady, is the NFL player going back to college or the Browns making Watson the starter crazier? There we go. Big Hub. Deshaun Watson is going to be a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, not Shedeur Sanders. I'm not talking about play. I haven't watched any preseason Deshaun or Shedeur. I'm not talking about play. Watson is being booed by the fans. And he's saying he thinks it's personal. Yeah. Yes. Why else would they boo you? We know what happened. There were settlements. He didn't get arrested for it. But there were settlements and all this. This is why. Yes. It's a personal thing. And that'd be the case for any team that you were on today. That's a crazy story. Deshaun Watson will be the starting quarterback. Texter from the 970 talking about this. I'm guessing talking about the farmer thing. This Tony Farmer, the podcaster. This is what happens when income is based on clicks rather than merit. Yeah, you get the more followers you have, the more clicks on stories you put out or whatever. You can get paid for that. And that we've set that up in the social media world. How about this one, Mike? Doesn't stop there. It's a crazy day for news. It's a Monday. Deion Sanders, graphic designer, sues coach over personal brand logos. Alan Tipp, a graphic designer who created Sanders' personal brand logos in 2011, filed a complaint alleging Sanders made false promises to convince him to sign away logo rights. A longtime graphic designer for Deion Sanders now claims the coach brand manager persuaded the designer to sign away the rights to Sanders' personal brand logo in exchange for career advancement opportunities that Sanders has since failed to deliver. His name is Alan Tipp. He gave up his rights to the creations, according to the Denver Post, in December of 2022 as a part of a deal in which Sanders' brand manager, Sam Marini, promised to advance Tipp's career in numerous ways, including hiring him to create a line of branded sunglasses, according to a complaint filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Nebraska in January 2025. So the graphic designer lives in Nebraska? That's already kind of an issue. According to the Post, they're saying, this is what Alan Tipp is saying. Sanders has since failed to meet those obligations, and his representatives began avoiding Tipp soon after the agreement was signed. Tipp alleged in the complaint Sanders released a line of branded sunglasses in September 2023. I remember that. Without Tipp's involvement, according to the lawsuit, the graphic designer alleged the sunglasses generated $5 million in sales in the first 3 days. Now, an attorney for Sanders' team, Michael Klump, declined to comment Friday. Now, what I've heard is that they're trying to say on Prime's side of things is no, they didn't have the logo was created before that. I guess we'll find out in paperwork. Like this is something we might actually be able to get our hands on at some point, Mike. On top of Sanders this month being subpoenaed to testify in his son's bankruptcy trial. Now, I'm not going to speak on the logo thing yet, because this is something as simple as we can find probably a paper trail of some kind of agreement when it was signed, what have you. There's going to be more of an investigation here. But it's another thing, Mike. It's another thing that surrounds Deion Sanders during his time as the coach of the Colorado Buffaloes.
The drama in Boulder should be about the football team, not about all this extracurricular stuff. And yet Prime is bringing more to this circus.
Right. And the more you get into it, we can sit here and say, oh, Brady, you're just attacking Coach Prime. You just don't like Coach Prime.
He's giving you reasons.
Why are you talking about Coach Prime? Well, he gives you the news. You better hope Prime doesn't leave because you're not going to have enough stuff to talk about. We have plenty to talk about. But these stories and a head coach in our area, they keep coming up. And you can't ignore them. Am I supposed to ignore these? So we'll see. I don't know, Mike. It's a crazy, crazy story. We'll find out. Like I said, they're going to be able to go back and look at this and figure out when they were talking, when they were communicating. Now, some of this stuff could be hearsay stuff. Like a promise was a promise, but it was never really putting down in any kind of paperwork. So Coach Prime in the news again. This time this lawsuit does directly involve him. 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. More on that coming up and some of the techs up on the Nuggets. We'll get back to that in a moment. Broncos, more from the preseason game number 2. One more to go before we start the real deal. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Rocky Mountain Kickoff is back. Hear the fellas every Friday at 2 and gear up for another big weekend of football. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Buffs Insider for BuffBlitz.com for the On3 Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital. To rock around, that's right, on time. It's tricky, it's the place. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around, that's right, on time. It's tricky. It's tricky, 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 tricky.
I want to thank Aloe Fiber as we sit here from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We've got them here at the station and could not be happier. If you're looking to make that switch, check out AloeFiber.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub texting in on the Daquan Wright story. Allowing Wright to go back to college is absolutely ridiculous. If they don't want you in the league, then what makes going back to college help? It's just a money grab. Well, yeah, there's money to be had if you stay in college. So let this be a lesson. Like, they keep trying to make rules. The NCAA is trying to make rules. And I think the whole thing, the 5-for-5 thing, good idea. Bad idea to try to cut it off at 2022. So then they start filing lawsuits. Our former Bear, Brock Wisney, is part of this, and they say, no, we're fighting that. We should be eligible. We should get that fifth year. I played 4 years. I should get the fifth, just like the current guys in. But they tried to cut it off and basically say, if you ended your college career at the end of the spring of 2026, that it does not pertain to you. Well, that seems unfair, kind of, right? So they seemingly win the case, and now it's like, okay, you can go back. But then that Colorado judge comes out and says, well, let me clarify, you can't enter the portal. You, if you've already signed a professional contract, you also can't come back, which also kind of screws them up. But I also look at it and say it's tough. It's tough. You signed a professional contract. You got to go forward. You got to move forward. I know you were waiting to see what happens, but it is what it is. But make no mistake, this is a guy, he's taking advantage of the rules. No, he's just doing what he can. I don't necessarily blame him. Blame Kiffin for taking him. Of course it's Lane Kiffin. What a story, man. I don't know what to make of this in the NCAA anymore. It just continues to get weirder and weirder. And the more rules and laws they try to enforce, the worse it gets. I don't necessarily blame the players, though. And they filed this restraining order that gives them a free pass to play for another year. I just don't understand where we go from here on this news. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Reading through some texts here. This was earlier on the Nuggets. The thing I have a problem with is that the Nuggets seem to be playing a victim card when it comes to the second apron. They gave out big money, long-term contracts, even though they knew that things were changing under the new CBA. Now they have a top-heavy team built like it's 15 years ago, while the rest of the league prioritized flexibility and is passing them by. True, you knew this apron stuff was coming well before it was actually enacted, before we actually had to play by those rules. But that was the whole idea of moving off of the Michael Porter Jr. contract, was to try to relieve some money. And they did, and they bolstered the bench, and that's another bad situation. They brought big, let's not, like, excuse this. Valanciunas it was well known that he got an offer to go play in Greece. And he was one of the guys they traded for once they cleared up some cap space from the Michael Porter Jr. thing. Did they not do enough research to know that this could be an issue? Because he played. It was controversial, but he played. And now he's gone. Now, I'm not saying he was the end-all, be-all, and that's the difference between not winning a championship or not. Tim Hardaway Jr. might have been one of those guys, though. I don't know if he didn't want to play in Denver. He played on the vet minimum last year. I think he's playing on the vet minimum now, maybe getting a little bit more than that. But you lost that. I get it. They're playing the second apron card. I think they're both to blame on this. I don't love the agency stepping in and telling Peyton Watson, like, you better not play. Because, you know, we work for each other here. You get paid, we get paid. If you go out there and get hurt, or your performance isn't great because you're hurt, then you're not getting the payday. You're not going to see that $22 million. The worst thing for the Nuggets was that Peyton Watson was good in December. Let's say great in December. I was talking to Rich Paul at Max, is it Kellerman? He had a great year. I wouldn't say he had a great year. He had a fine year. And then he had a great month. That great month caused all of this. Market went up. Everyone's talking about Watson. Oh, he's this young, athletic-looking dude. He's going to be awesome. And he's hearing that. His agent's hearing that. And he got $22 million a year out of it. So good for him on that side, but I go back and forth. It's not that the Kroenkes are cheap. They pay people. They just kind of, in some cases, pay the wrong people. In some cases, pay the right people. But now they're stuck in this, what sure feels like no man's land. It feels like no man's land for the Nuggets right now. They still have Joker. For now, and if I keep seeing these Lakers reports that once they get their ownership finalized, they're going to set their sights on Nikola Jokic, I'm going to throw up in my mouth, Michael. If he's a Laker, I don't know what are we going to do? What are we? I'm going to need therapy, Mike. You need to be my therapist. You. Yeah, you would need to be the one.
I can distract you with Lane Kiffin jokes.
I don't even know if that'll help.
I would hate him going to the Lakers, too. The only team I hate more than the Lakers, you know me, Oklahoma City.
Well, join the club. Not a big Thunder guy. I like their defense.
I don't think
though.
That's happening.
I like to play defense. No, I don't think so. I think
they'd
it's
have
all,
to give
it's
them
all
a lot of
just
horses.
Clickbait stuff, and I think of all the places to go for Joker, wouldn't the Lakers be the worst one? Now I know he play with Luka. They're boys, you know. That'd be fun. How do we even know that would work? Okay, if I could trade Jamal Murray straight up for Luka Doncic, would I do it? Yes. Okay, let me just get that out. Let me get that out in the world. But I don't know that it would work the same way. Because Luka needs the ball in his hands a lot, although Jamal Murray has the ball in his hands a lot. So I don't know if it would really change. It's just you got one guy who's a threat all game, every game in Luka, and another guy, hey, when he's good, he's packing a freaking punch. But when he's not, you don't really know he's out there. He still bounces the basketball a lot. What do you think of Deshaun Watson getting named starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns over Shedeur Sanders? Man, the hits keep coming for the Sanders family this week and last week.
I mean, my prediction is you're either going to have an injury to your starting quarterback again, or he's going to be too distracted by off-the-field stuff, Browns fans booing him. I give him less time than I do the Raiders quarterback. I think he's got 5 weeks.
Kirk?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, probably 8 weeks before he gets benched because... And it's not the quarterback's fault. They just suck. But I think Deshaun Watson has 5 weeks. And then he's benched, and everyone's going to cheer on Shedeur.
Why even go that route, though? Is it because you're paying him a lot of money and you just want to see what you have? Like, if you're yes. Cleveland, you're just saying, let's see what he's got.
Absolutely.
Let's see what we got in this dude once and for all. Let's put it all out there. And... then we don't have to wonder if Deshaun Watson would have turned out to be a player. They got Shedeur Sanders for a while, so they go out and they see what this really looks like. Not saying it's right, but that's what they're doing.
Do they still have that Oregon quarterback that they drafted before Shedeur?
They still have him.
Browns are going to be a dumpster fire for years.
Well, because again the situation you continue to put yourself in. Like, they have no one to blame but themselves for this kind of stuff, but this is just how it is with Cleveland. I mean, is it any coincidence that it's their player that's making the headlines that's entering the transfer portal from a football team?
Todd
Monken's like, what? Why? What's going on? Why is Lane Kiffin calling me? He wants your player.
If it was a... Like the Broncos. The Broncos have a very good culture there. He probably goes to the transfer portal, but maybe he waits another week to see. Like, maybe he can make the practice squad.
Just think about the optics of that, though. You're playing in the NFL. Whether you got in a game or not, you're suiting up wearing a Browns jersey.
Getting paid.
Meanwhile, your name is in the transfer portal in college. Now, this doesn't set a precedent, by the way. But a lot of people are saying, this is setting a precedent. It's because you're not following the rules. You're not following what's going on in the story. It's not a precedent. This is not what we're going to see now. This is not the norm. It's because they were granted a fifth year, and we got a lawsuit about who gets that fifth year. Just who gets that fifth year. That is why. So, no, I think this is a one-off situation this year. This is not going to be an epidemic. It's not going to be next year we're going to see guys declare for the draft, not get drafted. It's not part of it, Mike. They can't allow it. But
they can't allow it, but they're going to survive another lawsuit.
Boy. Yeah, there's going to be lawsuits. And this is the problem. This is why the NCAA wants and probably needs Congress to get involved, because no matter how many bulletproof rules they think they're putting together, all it takes is one lawsuit. Lawyers are making money, Mike. Lawyers are looking at this every day going, oh, what's the new NCAA rule? Okay, great. Who did they screw over? Let's go find that guy. That's what they're doing. And if they don't allow next year, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. If they don't allow Billy Bob, who entered for the NFL draft, doesn't get drafted, can't get on a team, or he's in training camp, but then says, you know what, I'm going to do what this guy did. I'm going to enter the portal, and I'm going to go play college football. No, you can't do that because you're not granted a fifth year. Well, he wasn't granted that fifth year, but he filed a restraining order and was allowed to. So now I'm going to use that against you, and they're going to make my case. 42 minutes after the hour. I don't know, Mike. Are we behind in the clock? I have no idea. I'm so lost.
This is the bottom of the hour.
This is the bottom of the hour? Because the top stories segment today was just so much for my brain.
Yeah, we're just, I mean, that the top stories of the day were a dumpster fire.
Sad news, bad news all around. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Hear me? Oh, okay. You pointed to me and I'm like, we're on, Mike. That was very tricky by you. Very tricky back there.
Should have come in with tricky.
Yes, you should have done that.
I came in with tricky last segment, though.
Mm-hmm. I want to get to this text here. Eastside Chris, won't much of NIL money be used by the time these guys play college ball? Which money is that? Who's that coming from? What do you mean?
School money? That what you're talking about?
I don't know, but they're now LSU got to make room for this guy. So here's the thing, like, he's going to get an NIL deal, right? He's going to LSU.
And he's going to get a scholarship.
So how do they get him there? Because they're supposed to be at their quota for salary cap stuff, because it's August 24th. LSU plays a football game next week.
Got to cut somebody.
How does that work? I'm just asking the question. But, like, how did they promise him his money?
Through thievery?
Through an outside donor. That's what happens. That's how this happens. Which is also against the rules. All this is against the rules. And Lane Kiffin's like right there, a part of it. Of course he is.
Soulless bastard.
And this guy was an Ole Miss dude. But for him to enter the portal and then come over there and leave the NFL, he had to have been promised some kind of money. But they're probably already over their salary cap, so then it has to be a side promise of, hey, we'll get you the money, that which is not supposed to happen. This is a mess. Mike, sign them up to contracts. Sign them up to contracts. You got to make them employees. That is the only way you're going to solve all this nonsense. We'll take a quick break, wrap up hour number two. We got clip of the day, more on the Broncos, and the UNC Bears play this weekend, Michael. Actually, this Friday, not even into the weekend. It'll be a lot of fun. Keep it here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
Rocky Mountain Kickoff is back. Hear the fellas every Friday at 2 and gear up for another big weekend of football. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just can't keep up on a Monday. I just can't keep up on all this stuff, man. We got a lot to get to. We still have another hour left, so stick with us. Got a clip of the day coming up. More thoughts on the Broncos. I don't have a ton of thoughts on the preseason game, Mike. It's preseason. There it is. We're trying to get to our 687 times of saying it's preseason. They got smoked. There was a lot of things that didn't look great. First unit defense I had some issues with, but their pass rush looks elite. Hopefully Riley Moss is okay. We'll check on that coming back. Keep it here on The Whole Show, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.